Break Studios. It's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is... The Hype.
What is going down, everybody? It's time for The Hype, episode 110. We took a week off. Mahalo, everybody. We are here for another jam-packed episode of The Hype. MojoBreak.com is the website for any of your break needs, personal boxes. We do everything live 7 days a week. You can also follow us on Twitter, MojoBreak_com, and same on Instagram. What's going on, Dan? What's going on, C-Rad?
Mahalo is like... hello and goodbye.
It is. Mahalo. Yeah, I like it. It's easy.
I think same thing as like chow. Chow can also be hello and goodbye.
Nice. That's, you know, one word to remember. Makes it easy.
Yeah, because hello and goodbye is just too hard. Too hard.
Exactly. Got to remember two words there. So, but yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. C-Rad, how was it ripping some Prism Draft last week? What did you think? Prism Draft 1920 basketball.
I'm excited for any and all basketball releases. So Prism's a good time.
Even Revolution?
Especially Revolution.
Tell us how much
especially.
You like it.
How about Hoops?
Especially not Hoops, but
yeah. I hope they bring back the brown border.
I mean, it's not like we're gonna get a bunch of it anyways, right? So I'm excited to rip Hoops.
Nice. Can we get prismed chromium technology brown?
Brown little border.
Brown border chrome.
I think we got some brown border outside.
We do. Going on. We do.
That'll be said in another show. But what did you think about, I mean, before we go into some of the segments, what did you think about Prism Draft? Did it have too many parallels for you, or was it the right amount of parallels?
It had the right amount of parallels, I would say. The only confusing part, I brought it up a few times, was the fact that there's no consistency, particularly with the numbered autograph prisms, because there's like at least five different colors for like number to five and five different colors for number to tens. It's not just gold. Or the gold vinyls, like they normally do. Like
right.
Normally, number to five would be gold vinyl, right?
Right.
And number to 10 would be gold. We all know that from Panini products. But I saw blue prism number to 10. I saw some wave prisms number to 10. I saw some hyper prisms number to 10. I'm like, okay.
And there's also several photo variations of every player.
There's about two. There's two. They have them in there. Like, you know, like most guys is just like in their dark jersey and then their white jersey.
Nice. So. Well, and coming up later in the show, guys, we're bringing back Guess That Price. Dan and C-Rad will face off for Guess That Price, and you guys can play along at home. What we do is we take completed eBay auctions via auction, and we guess. We have these two fine gentlemen guess and see who can win this round. So seven cards to Guess That Price on coming up. We're also going to talk about Zion's injury, Zion's regular prism coming out. We're just talking about draft. But I wanted to start the show off talking about the world got to see Soto last night. So if you were just a casual baseball fan, Soto in the World Series, that mammoth opposite field home run, had a two-run double as well. But that home run was just ridiculous. Opposite field off of one of the best pitchers in the game. It's incredible. I mean, this guy's cards are going up. What do you guys think about investing in Soto? So I'll let you guys ponder on that. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes. But there was some Fangraphs thing on Soto that the probability of hitting that pitch where he hit it, which was incredibly far, hit the railroad thing over there in Houston, opposite field at a over 96 mile an hour velocity. They were breaking it down. There's like nobody that's ever done that in that big of a game. And I didn't realize how young the kid is. He's actually younger by 4 years than Pete Alonso. And he's younger than Yordan Alvarez.
He's 20, right?
He's 20. He turns 21 in this series, I think, coming up. So, I mean, could this guy be the face of baseball?
What about Acuna? What happened?
He's old news, but man.
He is.
He watches doubles or singles.
Oh, okay.
He watches singles.
Somebody else kind of did that, I think. Was it Springer last night? Hit a ball off the wall.
And he was watching it?
And he probably could have had it. He probably could have had a triple, but he did a little dance out of the batter's box and just sat there and kind of watched it. And it could have been caught actually, but it ended up hitting the wall and he got a double. He may have gotten a triple. I don't know if he would have gone for it, but what's up? What's up with these baseball players? Are we cool with that? Are we cool with the flash of like that cocky attitude of like watching balls or bat flipping and stuff like that when it's hurting the team?
When it hurts the team, no. If you hit a home run and then you celebrate after the home run's over the fence, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but nobody does that. Nobody waits. It's the second that the ball is hit, and Barry Bonds did it as well. They watch it. That's when they watch it.
But can you remember Barry Bonds going?
It didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't happen because he would hit the ball over. Yeah, the ball would go well over the fence.
Right.
Because he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest.
I mean, one thing that I always think of is, I mean, baseball. Short, like we talked about a couple episodes ago, we got in a little bit of a tiff on it. But baseball is a slower game. If you add some celebrations to it and you get some juices flowing, maybe that like leads to a fight later on, or maybe Soto gets beaned. I mean, it just adds a little bit more excitement to the game. So I'm all for it. Sometimes baseball games can drag. I mean,
so
World
you're
Series are great.
Into the retaliation of hitting a player with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
Well, I think you got the league split now. You got the Bumgarner types that are, you know, holding the torch for baseball's old-school rules, and you can't, you know, step on the mound, and you shouldn't watch a home run, and you shouldn't celebrate. And you got these guys like Soto, Acuna, Springer, all these younger generation guys that they're all about the celebrating. They're all about the individual – I don't want to say individual accolades, but the moment. They're seizing the moment, and they're not – Bumgarner would say that's not respecting the game.
It's not,
but I think baseball needs flash.
Like well, so said, you don't like so. Bumgarner now?
I like Bumgarner because of my team. I wouldn't like him.
Oh, if Bumgarner was on a different team.
Yeah, I wouldn't like
that guy. Be a scrub.
Exactly. Just like you and well, you know,
it's like Richard Draymond Schubert. For basketball, right?
Right. Yeah. Everybody hates Draymond, but he's on your team. You like him, so let them do an end zone dance at home plate. Yeah, I mean, and every other sport has the celebrations.
Well, football, that's new.
They took
it away for a while.
But guys now, would still spike the ball. Isn't spiking the ball the equivalent of throwing the bat in a bat flip? Like you hit a home run, you throw the bat. That wasn't accepted amongst baseball royalty.
Don't throw the bat.
Even in the leather helmet days, guys were spiking the ball in the end zone.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think so.
You gotta find some tape.
I don't think they were spiking the ball.
I think they were. I think they're all now the you know T.O. started the whole Sharpie and you know Randy Moss mooning the crowd. I mean those were more elaborate that were slowing the game down, so they penalized them for it. But now they're like, oh well, maybe we should accept it, so they let it back in there.
Well, what do you think about when a defense gets a turnover and they all run down to the end zone? And they all pose for a photo.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That seems like that's too planned out for me.
Oh, no, I would not say too planned out. It absolutely. That means at practice.
Yeah, they're part of practice.
About
there.
12, 13 guys got together and they're like, you know what? Because you have guys who are like not even in the play or on the field. They're running over there to get in their photo.
Right. Yeah. Right off the bench.
Yeah, that means, I mean, that's like. You have a part of practice where you're supposed to be at work and they're like, okay. We got about the next hour. We're going to work on our rundown celebration dance.
Right. Well, remember that the one that pissed me off. And when you're on the other side of it, it obviously hurts a little bit more. But like, remember Prince Fielder against the Giants? Prince Fielder hit that walk off.
Oh, the bowling ball.
He basically hit a home run. His whole teammates were surrounding home plate and he runs and jumps on home plate and they all fall over like bowling ball pins.
Yeah.
So that at some point in practice, Prince Fielder's like, hey, I got something you guys need to do. I need the whole team to know about it. So, but if you lose and you were working on your celebration, doesn't that seem like, well, you could have been working on hitting instead of working on your celebration, right? Or football. You're working on
that
your
is one of those things. If it happens against your team, you're really going to be the only bitter person in the room.
Right.
Because I actually look at that now and I'm like, I could get how it was fun.
It's kind of creative.
It's fun.
It's kind of creative. I get it.
Now, what if – now, the issue is that in baseball, when they have walk-offs, they have these weird routines where they go around and they just beat the crap out of the guy who just won the game.
Hurt.
Like, that's the one where and I mean, they're, like, ripping his shirt off and stuff like that. I'm waiting for the guy to, like, tear an ACL on a walk-off and be like, cool, man, season's over.
Right, yeah, or just get hit in the head or something. Like, Bregman just gets, like, his ankle stepped on.
There was the Hunter Strickland, Bryce Harper fight where Michael Morris got involved in it, got a concussion and never came back.
Yeah. Ended his career.
Ended his career. I mean, he was at the end of his career anyway.
I'm pretty sure there's a whole YouTube video of like celebration injuries, which is kind of a fun one to watch. So this episode's brought to you by Kombucha, which I might have to get myself some as well. But I think we're looking for sponsors.
All right. Sign me up. I love you, kombucha. Sign me up. I'll sell you kombucha.
I'm surprised you're not wearing a kombucha shirt, you know?
Thought about taking my shoes off.
It's like once the Rams got Jalen Ramsey, Dan's like drinking kombucha now. I don't know.
Has not, no connection. No connection. But,
I think so.
Kombucha is good. It's good for you. It's good for you.
So back to Soto. These are a few recent high-dollar cards that sold last night. So Chrome Refractor 2016 Bowman Chrome is what he's in, by the way. If you are searching for him, that is his best autographed card. He looks like he's 14. But $8.99 for an ungraded Refractor auto. And update, and any Topps flagship rookie cards, Acuna's cards are way up there. But 2018, that's a Topps Chrome update, PSA 10, sold for $75. So if you're on the, you know, lower investing scale or the lower collecting scale, you know, the update may be the way to go. If you want to invest in something big, get in on one of those Chromes. The kid's young. I mean, if they win the World Series, I mean, it only can go up from there. So compared to Acuna's pricing, it almost seems like that's a pretty dang good deal to get in on Juan Soto. I mean, what do you think? Are you thinking Juan Soto's just playing above his means, or is this guy going to be a top five star in the baseball?
Oh, I think he's there. I think if they win the World Series, I think you can put him in the top 10 already, if not the top five.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a huge jump. I mean, but you said earlier that Bryce Harper was the face of baseball. Is he still in the top five?
He was, yeah.
Is he in the top 10 still?
He's in the top 10.
I bet you he wishes he was on the Nationals still.
Probably does.
It kind of sucks.
I think he came out and he's like, I'm happy for the Nationals.
Yeah. Well, he had to look at his money afterwards, right? He had to go to his bank account.
Yeah, he's all, I'm happy. He did the Antonio Brown. He's like, let me check my bank account.
Yeah, let me check my Chase.
Let me check my bank account. Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to not be on the Nationals. I'm happy.
I don't know. Antonio Brown's like trying to get his money. I think his bank account's running low.
I know. He needs to do something, man.
He's getting some Chase alerts saying that, like, your account's under 30 million.
Damn, first time in forever. Do you think he's going back to would the Raiders take him back?
Hell no.
Even at a league minimum?
I think you're going to see him on a team. I know we've already talked about it, but I actually can see him on the Niners. I can see the Niners taking a chance on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. No, we got Emmanuel Sanders. We're good.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Manny Sanders is he's a fragile gentleman. You may have him for a game and he might be on the IR.
And we only gave up a second and third round pick.
That's a lot in this day and age of football.
And we kind of indirectly helped out the Raiders. We took away a receiver from a rival. So you don't have to face Emmanuel Sanders now.
Nah, man. Broncos aren't a rival.
Yes, true. Not this year. So we got two new products that are coming out today, guys. We got Triple Threads. We got a sold-out break coming up right after the show, so you guys can check it out. And we've already done two cases of Triple Threads. Triple Threads is one of those products. It used to be the only high-end baseball that they made. So it now is kind of considered mid-end in the grand scheme of all their releases. But you're talking about 36 autos and a 9-box – or 36 hits and a 9-box case break. You got a guaranteed triple auto or one of one in every inner case, every 9-box case. And they actually have a lot more on-card autos this year, which was nice. We pulled Pete Alonso as an on-card auto. There was a Rafael Devers on-card. The on-card design patch auto looks really nice this year. And you got those crazy book chases, you know, full all-star patches, bat plates, books, stuff like that. So it's always a fun release, and it's always a release that kind of some of the cards just they hold their value really well because they're only found in Triple Thread. So that and the pinnacle of hockey collecting today, the Cup. We are doing Cup Hockey today, 6-box case randoms of the Cup Hockey. If you do yourself a favor and search Connor McDavid Cup rookies and just see those prices, it is the top rookie RPA for hockey. They do shields, they do plates, they do all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're doing random cases of that today as well. So
could actually go back at one of your comments there. We can go back in the Wayback Machine. We can go back to, like, what, 2014 and maybe even 2015. Mm-hmm. You're right. It was like Triple Threads and Tribute. And Tribute was probably the highest in.
But I think Triple Threads, like 08, 09, there wasn't any Tribute. Tribute didn't start until 10. So there might have been Top Sterling that was around that time.
I think Tribute was – did they have Tribute football before
– I think they came out the same year, 2010, because it was Sam Bradford year.
All right, yeah, because Tribute was – price per box is more expensive. But Triple Threads is kind of the OG when it comes to high-end, and it's around $200 a box. So, and we all kind of look at that and go, Well, that's kind of on the lower end spectrum now.
You can thank breakers for that one, guys. I mean, if there was nobody breaking boxes online, I think triple threads would probably still be the high end. You know what I mean? So one of the ways to ingest cards and make a lot of high-end product is to have it be busted online. So, you know, so I kind of thank breakers for that. But I wanted to move on. There's a funny eBay listing that one of you guys on Twitter, I should have your name ready. I will give you props. Tweeted this out to us. So it was a Panini Kaboom card of Ben Simmons, and the listing said 2009 Panini Kaboom green Ben Simmons 101. This guy can shoot now. I knew that would get a chuckle from C-Rad.
Oh, my God.
Invest now. This guy can shoot now.
Come on, dude.
He's a basketball player, and he's been in the league for 3 years, but all of a sudden he woke up, and he can shoot now.
He shot a three
on an actual subject line.
Yeah,
he put. Okay,
well, that's like me. I've only opened like two boxes of Immaculate, and I hit a Zion. So it's like I'm one for one, right? So, or I'm one for two now. But at one point, I was one for one. So I guess I only hit Zions because I only opened one box. So he only shot once, but he can shoot now.
I'll tell you who doesn't pull Zions out of, well, at least the Collegiate Immaculate. That would be me. But
you did hit the gold vinyl.
I did hit a gold vinyl at a Prism draft, and I think there's only four other people in the world who can do that.
I think there's 10 of them total because there's variations.
Whatever. But only four of the one that I pulled.
I think there's one up there for like $15,000 or best offer. For
it's
that,
worth
for
every
that
dime.
Worth every dime.
Every dime.
So, perfect segue into NBA. The NBA tip-off started yesterday. We got to see the Pelicans and the Raptors play. We saw the Lakers.
That boy LeBron's on the Heat again?
Oh, that's an old one, isn't it? He should be. He might as well go back, play with Tyler Herro. I put 2019 season. I don't know what happened there.
Not even close. Actually.
Is that Derrick Rose back there?
Look at some of these players on here, and most of them are not even on that. That's Kevin Durant on the Thunder.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's good to know Kobe's back.
Darren Williams on the good. I can't even make that.
Derrick Rose. Is that Melo?
Yeah.
That's Melo. Okay. Good to know. And Tony Parker's still in the league at Spurs.
This picture is brought to you by
2011-2012
NBA.
And who's that Pacers player?
Paul George.
Paul George.
It's Paul George.
We can move on. So, but I wanted to segue and talk about Zion,
Paul
guys.
George has played for like 18 teams after that.
I know, he did. He's been did the tour. But anyways, Pelicans, obviously, you know, Zion's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Is the top news for our hobby, for the basketball hobby, is the speculation. Is he still a good investment? What's going to happen with Zion? What's going to happen with NBA products? So I wanted to have a discussion about that. And, you know, some of the headlines are saying weight's not an issue now. You know, Pelicans are coming out and saying weight's not an issue on Zion. Zion undergoes surgery out 6 to 8 weeks. So we're looking at, what, December that he's going to be back? So they're going to play, what, 20, 30 games by the time he comes back?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Webber had some interesting dialogue yesterday in yesterday's game, saying, you know, the biggest thing for him is mental right now, is to stay away from all the people that are saying stuff about him, like he can't play or he's Greg Oden or, you know, this and that. And he said also is the regimen of what he's going to eat, because he said when he was 19 and 20, he was eating pizza and donuts and stuff like that. So he's got to stay mentally tough, and he's got to also, you know, try to work out with the busted knee and, you know, work his jump shot out somehow and stuff like that. So they're saying, you know, it could take a step back being off for 2 months. But, I mean, what do you think? What do you think this does to our hobby? For you guys in the chat and for C-Red and Dan here, what do you think this does immediately to our hobby for Zion cards?
Zion. Not good. It's going to go down. I mean, the hype, you could see the spike the first, like, 2 to 3 preseason games. He looked good. He was doing some dunks. He looked like he was basically playing against the same guys he played in college, but these were professional ball players, and he's just dunking over fools. He's just controlling the game. So you saw a spike right then and there. Like, everything probably went up about 20% just in those two games.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see it come back down. I think you're going to see it go down about 20 to 30% until he comes back. And mark my words, I don't think he plays a game this year. I don't think he does come back. I think
that's your prediction.
I think the Pelicans will reassess it in December, and if they're below 500, and I think they will be below 500. I know they looked pretty good last night, but I still think they're going to be below 500. He doesn't play, and he comes back healthy.
See, I like the Pelicans. I will disagree there.
I think he comes back healthy next year, but Chris Webber's right. I mean, he has to be mentally tough when he's not playing and
stay off Twitter and all this other stuff.
Well, and, you know, have a good diet. I mean, weight has to be a concern going forward. He's only 19 years old. And, yeah, I mean, he's strong, but I think everybody could see him getting a lot bigger fast.
Could be. Now, I got a question for you, C-Rad, so I want to get your opinion on this. Is it better? So let's just say hypothetically, right? Zion did not get hurt. Mm-hmm. And Zion, for these next 2 months that he's not going to be playing, say he was playing, and he basically goes out and shoots 2 for 17 every night and averages 10 points a game and just basically is like nothing what we expected. So is it better for the hobby to have him out right now than to suck?
For the hobby, it's better to have him out.
Right. So I think in a sense, it's if you did invest in him, I think you're actually kind of protected for 2 months right now. I'm not saying he's going to go up while these 2 months, but I think it's going to be at a standstill is what my opinion is. So in a way, if you heavily invested in something or you're, you know, I don't know what you could really invest in right now. There's only been a few products coming out, but I
gold,
think
gold vinyl, prism draft, gold vinyl.
So. And from what I've seen from people in our chat on Monday and Tuesday, it's not stopping them from chasing this guy. So there's still going to be people chasing him regardless of the injury. In a way, this protects. Kind of like what you guys are saying in the chat. Ben Simmons was out the entire year, and his silvers were selling for thousands of dollars, right? He wasn't even playing. So, I mean, what do you think? What do you think, C-Rad? I mean, what's the best-case scenario when he comes back in 2 months?
Best-case scenario is he picks up right where he left off in preseason, where he's averaging. He's being highly efficient, you know, helping this team win games and getting, you know, about 20, I would say 23, 24 points a game, close to 10 boards. That's where his numbers, I think, will probably – I think he might score a little bit more than that. But
what if
best case scenario.
What if he does come back? I still don't think he's going to – I think it's about 50-50 him actually playing this year.
And you crazy. The Pelicans are not going to be below 500. No, not in the East.
50-50. Yeah, but what if he comes back and 3 weeks into his comeback, he's hurt again? He's back out for another month, 2 months. It's worse for the hobby.
Yeah.
It's worse for the hobby.
One injury is okay. If you start
seeing a pattern of him coming back and getting injured, out for another week, gets injured again, out for 3 weeks, yeah, comes back and get, then you're going to be like, this dude's made of glass. He is, it's actually better for him to just to be out for the hobby for the whole year.
Right.
I mean,
I think the worst thing that can happen is him come back and consistently get banged up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I agree with
Has anybody there. Really studied that? I haven't really studied on this injury. There's got to be a doctor out there that's saying, is because of his play, is it happening? Or was it just a freak thing? So I think that's the thing to look at. And I don't know if that info's out there. The Pelicans probably wouldn't put it out there. Like, is the way that he's jumping, is that the reason his knee's busted? Or is it just something freak happened? Maybe it was related to the blown out shoe, you know, that happened, that was a lingering issue. I mean, as I have heard some chatter saying that, you know, when that happened in the preseason, or when that happened in Duke, and then he had a little bit of soreness at the beginning of the preseason, that he should just not have played in the preseason. That's what people were saying. They're saying the Pelicans handled the situation wrong. But, you know, he's a competitor. I'm sure he didn't want to sit if he felt decent enough to play. So it's something to monitor, but it's really going to change the whole scope of basketball for this year for collecting. So I wanted to talk about it. And I wanted to relate it to Silver Prisms. I've got some interesting data for Silver Prisms, guys, so hang on tight for that. You know, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to compare it to some of the other years. But I wanted to look at some Zion sales. It doesn't seem like he's been too affected. So a base college Zion card that you could get probably at least one every other box, if not one every box, $21 raw for a base Zion rookie, not a silver. And silvers are hanging around $150. So this is – uncharted territory for basketball. For one, we never had a Prism draft. And for two, I've never seen a base college card for basketball sell for this much. So the hype is still there. And these have sold. They sold yesterday for this price. So you got that. You got the autos that have sold for the number to five, not the gold vinyl, sold for $2,300. And a base auto sold for $1,000.
See, that's so weird, right? The blue is the number to five. There's a blue one?
I know. It's weird. I don't know what they did. They just didn't have enough time to put the product together. They just started throwing numbers on the back of things. I have no idea. But, yeah, two out of five sold for $2,300. $1,000 for this card.
That's just the base auto on the right side.
That's the base auto. But I also think, you know, another perspective is I think this is a really great rookie class. And I think this also allows for our hobby, for some other guys to kind of come up, you know, some guys like a Kobe White maybe plays his first five games, he scores 20 points. Who knows? I'm just speculating here. Or, you know, maybe Rui Hachimura or RJ Barrett or somebody has some great games. Some of that Zion money moves over to these guys, and there's more guys to collect than just Zion. So I think that's going to be the good thing. Are you seeing that too? I mean, what do you think?
What I'm seeing in the market is that there is obviously – in my opinion, the guys that are buying these Zion cards are the same collectors that buy guys like Jordan and LeBron, like
right.
the end buyer. Now everybody's chasing Zion in terms of like breaks, group breaks and stuff, right? But I have noticed there is a good amount of people collecting other players, like you just mentioned. There's a lot of people collecting Kobe White, a lot of guys throughout this whole draft. You know, Jared Culver and the Timberwolves. These guys' cards are moving too now, nowhere close to Zion, but I am noticing that, you know, I've been keeping up with a few guys and their sales on eBay. There is a lot of people chasing these other rookies.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are getting a decent amount, right? Like compared to even last year where everybody was just going after Luka and everybody dropped off so crazy.
Well, and Luka wasn't in contenders. Well, in contenders draft, he wasn't like really the standout guy, right?
Right, right. But by the time, you know, the season started, everybody just wanted Luka, right? And then we really saw during the middle of the season, nobody was buying anybody else.
Right, right.
Yeah. Nobody was buying
a little bit of Trey, maybe. But
yeah. I don't know why there was a little bit of Trey. There should have been a lot of Trey.
There was a huge drop off until
the
second
half
of the season.
Trey right now. Should be buying Trey right now.
He's your dude. He's a
good ball player.
So we got some things in the chat to contribute to the show. VGLN says, if he hurts his knees again, it's over. We might as well move on to LiAngelo Ball.
LiAngelo? You mean LaMelo?
LaMelo. It would be, well, maybe LiAngelo. Who knows?
He might one and two. Back,
right? we've already seen this pattern in college. Max says, buy low like Steph when his ankles were bad, which is a good point. I mean, Steph.
I don't think there's a such thing as buy low with Zion.
Yeah, that's true.
There could be. He gets injured again a couple times, yeah. And there's going to be people who are like, I'm not going to put any money into this guy, and you will be able to buy him low. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't see it for the rookie year.
Uh-huh.
It would take another injury.
You got to remember, dude, how long we're going to be busting product that's going to have Zion rookies in it, and how many products are going to come out with Zion in there.
No, I get it, but Zion is the most hyped rookie I've seen in the last 10 years.
How many? Throw a number out there. Let's get weird. Throw a number out there. How many Zion rookie autographs are going to be produced in 1920 products?
The same amount of Lucas that were out there last year?
7,000.
7,000?
7 to 10,000 autographs?
No.
What are you thinking, 20,000?
No, I'm thinking more.
50,000?
Yeah.
50,000 autographs of Zion.
So you think there's 50,000 Lucas out there?
I think there's going to be 50,000 Zion. And I'm saying through all parallels, all products, I think there's going to be 50,000 autos.
I think that's a little too. I think there's going to be 500 per set, because if you look at the collegiate, there was about 500 autos. So I'm thinking, well, the collegiate immaculate. So if you do that by 30, that's 12,000, 12,000, 13,000.
Yeah, I would say like 20.
But I mean,
you got to put all the instant stuff that they put up there. I think they're about 50. I mean, at least 20,000.
I could see that. I mean, they're going to have to try to make more product. They're going to try. They've already planned. They've already planned to cash in, and we'll get into. You guys will see. Oh, wow. Yeah, Ron, just you guys can click on that link in the chat. There's a Zion Williamson auto and patch card lot. 5-1-of-1, 7-1-of-5s, on-card autos, BGS graded now. So between the just contender stuff the guys got out up there. So
how much?
It's up to 24,000 with 51 bids.
How long?
There is still 1 day, 6 hours left. So there is 16 edition. There's like 15 Zion autographs. Invest now.
Top bidder is C-Rad, huh?
Yep, he's getting it in there. C-Rad 6.5, baby.
Keep in mind, I'm bidding under the Mojo account, so thank you, guys.
It's a bonus. Zion has the worst shot of any prospect to get this hype, Hits and Chicks says. Sad.
Has the worst shot? What do you mean shot?
Has the worst shot of any prospect to get this hype. You mean
like shooting form?
Shooting form?
No. I'm going to – that's a strong disagree. There's been plenty of number one guys who can't shoot a lick either.
Well, I know Lonzo. I was watching a little bit of that Pelicans game last night, and we're talking about him changing up his shot, perfecting it, making it better. Mm-hmm. Game was on the line. He came up and shot a three, and he barely tipped the front of the rim.
I saw that, but he did hit some threes earlier in the game.
Yeah. That shot doesn't look good when you almost airball it. I don't care how much you worked on it, but when you shoot the ball.
That's the one moment you pick out of that game?
That was the one moment that mattered.
Well,
it was overtime.
Yeah, but the fact that they didn't have him in for the last 6 minutes of the game didn't make any sense to me. They could have won that game.
Well, it kind of does, though.
He runs the offense.
You put the best guys on the court when it matters.
I guess not. But.
No, you do. You do.
Speaking of that, J.J. Redick, like, does he not stop and shoot? He just runs every time and shoots?
Yeah, his shot looks good, though.
Well, when it goes in.
It looks good. The book is on Lonzo. Let him shoot. You could actually see. You could see him dribble up, and as soon as he stopped behind the three-point line, the defender literally went off of him, gave him the shot.
Okay, well, he's going to hit those.
Open shot, and he barely hit the tip of the rim. How do you miss it that bad?
Couple other comments in the chat. Zion's going to have plenty of time to sign now. So, yeah, maybe they will make more autos because he's got a little bit more time now. He's not playing as much. Stickers upon stickers upon stickers, long arm Mike said. Hits and Chicks says worst shooting form for Zion.
Worst shooting form?
I don't know if I've actually saw him shoot. I've just seen him.
It's not a good shooting form. I'll give you that. It's not a good shooting form.
No Ben Simmons.
The worst – I don't know, bro.
Ben Simmons. He could shoot now. Invest.
B Moon says, poor Zion can't catch a break, loses an inch on his height when he joined the NBA, and now this. So I've got some interesting data.
Wait, what is this? I want to ask you, what is this on the screen?
Well, this, I wanted to alert you guys. So there's a court case. Panini is suing this gentleman who is custom making rated rookie Zion cards. Which I'm surprised Topps isn't jumping in on this, too, because they could obviously – that's their design on the bottom. It is a Topps design. So this guy's making it. His name's out there. It's like Shad Wing or whatever. He's got a pending court case.
Collector Vault? Is that
– Collector's Vault. They sent a cease and desist letter. So what this guy did – and this is courtesy of Paul Lesko, tweeted it out, who – if you ever want a good follow on Twitter, follow Paul Lesko. Talks about all the court cases for cards. So he created another eBay name, and he's selling them again after getting the cease and desist letter. So now Panini's got to try to file a restraining order to cease and desist immediately. So
now, I is there a gray area where it can be considered an art card?
Only if it's a drawing, I believe.
Okay.
So I think he would have been fine if he didn't put the rated rookie on there. So
how he's using the Nike logo and the Pelicans logo.
Yeah. You'd have to airbrush all that stuff out. So what I wanted to make sure, guys, is just buyer beware. There's a ton of fake Zion cards out there on eBay. So if you're new to this hobby, or if you know somebody that's new to this hobby, just tell them, like, steer them in the right direction to not buy these cards and not support these guys that are making fake cards. I mean, one of these guys says that this is signed in person and it sold for $75. There's another one that did their own sealing of it. They sealed it in a magnetic. They sealed a fake card in a magnetic and it went for $65. So these people that bought them probably don't know enough about the hobby to know that these are fake cards and they're literally worthless. So, you know, if you have the time to go through these auctions and report them. If we get enough of us reporting these auctions and reporting these listings, these people will eventually hopefully go away.
That's true. The images probably are
also trademarked.
Yeah. So I mean, this guy, I mean, and what I mean, Getty Images, maybe they may have the rights to him, so they may be able to jump on. This dude's trying to go to prison, and I think really? I think he's local. I think he's like in Palo Alto.
I heard
Alto,
he was in San Francisco. Yeah, I looked him up. I couldn't find anything on him.
I think he was connected, worked with a card shop in the Bay Area.
That's what I heard too. Yeah,
Ron, why did you do this? I'm just kidding.
But he doesn't. He doesn't work for that card shop anymore or affiliated with that card shop, but I heard he was.
Yeah, I heard he was like Lefties or something.
Lefties,
like that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So this is what came out of the court case that Paul Lesko tweeted out. So it said defendant Shad Wing has been exploiting and infringing Panini trademarks and deceiving consumers by selling counterfeit trading cards on eBay and perhaps elsewhere. After Panini alerted eBay to this issue through its Vero program, eBay notified Wing of the alleged infringement and insisted that he stopped. Instead, Wing created a new username, Claymation123, to elude eBay and Panini and continued to sell counterfeit trading cards that infringe on Panini trademarks. Accordingly, immediate action is necessary to stop Wing from continuing to harm Panini and its consumers. So, but I'm like, how much money could he be possibly making selling these cards $3 at a time? Like to keep
enough that he is justifying. Yeah. I think he's making a lot more than we think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's selling them for $4. How much do you think it costs him to make a dollar? Maybe
less.
Maybe less. He must have. Maybe he has a million still. So yeah. He's just like trying to still sell them off. But it's just, you know, kind of a piece of crap move. I mean, you got customers that think they're getting rookie cards that are legitimate. And they think they're getting a good deal, and it's just fake, and it's profiting on some brand that Panini's spent years of making. You know,
unless he's trying to make, because he knows he's screwed. He's like, I'm gonna make as much money as I possibly can right now because
pay for my court fees.
Yeah, because I'm gonna be going to prison soon.
Right, that's true. Well, there's some people saying that Panini may not want to pay to take it to court because it would cost them more money than it's worth on for them to do it.
Nah, I think they will though.
I think they absolutely will. So. It doesn't matter. B Moon says it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, though. It could be a facsimile, and the seller could say it's real. Yeah, that's another thing. Is for that auto that we were showing on there, it could be a facsimile. People do so many deceiving things on eBay. So, like we said in prior podcasts, just don't be, don't jump on there and just buy the first thing you see. Yeah. Do your research.
Anytime there's
something, don't impulse buy.
Yeah, anytime there's something hot in any industry, you could bet there's gonna be scammers like this.
Right, and if it's if like a base Prism card sells for $50 and you find one for $5, it's there's something going on. It's fake or it's messed up or something.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for the fake Prisms.
Mm. Oh, I know it's gonna happen like crazy. So I got some interesting data. We're gonna talk Prism Silvers now. So Prism Silvers are gonna be crazy come Zion. Come when this product comes out in December, I believe. Regular Prism, not Prism Drop Picks.
Early December, right?
Early December, Prism Regular comes out, and there's a million variations of the product now. So I was going through the numbers, and it was actually pretty staggering and eye-opening, and I got some advice. We have some advice for you guys that are going to be collecting the silvers. So starting in 16-17, Ben Simmons was the big chase. So I went through the data on the Pop Report, and this is available to any of you guys. BGS, you have to at least be signed up. You don't have to have a membership, but you have to have a login there. You can go through the Pop Report. PSA, you don't have to have a login. You can go through the Pop Report on PSA. So Ben Simmons graded silvers 1,068 that were graded between PSA and BGS. That doesn't state the whole print run, but if I had an idea, that's probably 70 to 80%. Mm-hmm. So there's probably about 1,500 Ben Simmons silvers that were made in 16-17. So you fast forward 1 year. You look at Donovan Mitchell. So Donovan Mitchell between PSA and BGS – and PSA, you can kind of see how busy BGS was getting because now PSA almost got pretty close to matching the BGS numbers. There was 1,619 Donovan Mitchells that were graded. So that's about a $500 or 500 card bump from the prior year. 1,619. So then you go into last year, Luka. And this is astounding to me. This is mind-blowing.
This is going to blow your mind,
guys. This is blowing my mind. So between the two companies, for Luka Doncic, silver prisms. We're not talking about base. Once again, get that right. It's silver.
Silver prisms.
Silver prisms. The number is on the next screen, and it is 3,684. So it's almost double what Donovan Mitchell's numbers were. It's almost triple what Ben Simmons' number. Actually, it is triple what Ben Simmons' numbers were. So that is literally insane. That is, means there was probably 5,000 silvers of Luka Doncic last year.
More.
Or more. Or more.
I mean, you got to figure there's probably at least 10 to 15% of the product that is stored away somewhere.
Right. Right.
That,
yeah,
that people are holding it. Right. Maybe even more.
Yeah. I mean, we just busted some chasing them yesterday.
Yeah. So there's probably, you know, I'd say safely 15% of the product still out there.
Right.
I brought this up when we were talking about this last year. I was like, if they stamped number 8,000 on the back of the card, would you still pay $200 or $300 for it?
No.
You would not. No. You would not. You would pay $15 for it because you would be like, hey,
it's 8,000 of them.
There's 8,000 of them.
Right. Yeah. That's the funny thing about this industry is it. So the less we know, the better, right, in a sense. So the fact that it's not numbered is better for collectors and better for the value. But if we actually look at the data like we just are doing, because the pop reports are out there, I mean, granted, more people are grading now. So, I mean, you know, the Simmons number, there may be a lot of raw Simmons out there that just weren't graded during that time period. So 3,684 Lukas is staggering.
Also, the price of Prism every one of those years has gone up.
Gone up.
So think about that. Think about more of it being made and the price increasing.
Right. Right.
That doesn't really, that's not really how you think of economics usually. Usually it gets to a point where there is enough supply for the demand and then the price will level out.
Right. Right.
But we're not having that now. So it's going to go up even more. The Prism this year is going to be, it's going to eclipse every other year in price. And there's going to be more of it made than any other year.
Right. Exactly. There is. I mean, and Ron, I put together the slides before the show. I guess great minds just think alike. But yeah, 10,000. Is there going to be 10,000 Zion Silvers? There could be more. I think 10,000 is low, to be honest. So that's what you guys got to consider when you're chasing, when you're buying something other than Hobby Prism. So this is what I want to tell you guys. That Fast Break Prism or that Fanatics Exclusive Prism or those multi-pack cello prisms, you're only chasing silvers. Don't get me wrong. They're going to sell for a good amount out of the gate. But as far as long-term, when there's 5,000 graded PSA and 5,000 BGS and there's 10,000 of them out in the market, I don't know, man. I really don't know. It just be aware of that. So Panini has told us that they cannot get any more autographs. It's impossible for them to get any more autographs because they're limited with athletes. They're limited on time. They're limited on putting these cards together and these sets together. They can't get any more autographs. But they can make more Prism Silvers because there's no numbers on them. So they can make – I mean – they came out with a Fanatics exclusive. They have a Fast Break version. They have a Choice version. And they have a Retail version.
And it's good to note that they started doing these extra SKUs in 17-18. That's where we started seeing the bump.
They came out with this. You guys probably saw us open up some of this. This is a 18-19 cello packs.
They've actually always had the cellos, they never came out to us. So that means they made a ton of them.
But I look at these, I guess – the autos in here are like almost impossible to hit.
Right.
But there's tons of silvers.
Right.
And they're not numbered. They could have made an extra 10,000 cases of this.
Right.
So.
And nobody would know.
Nobody would know.
So that's just something to consider if you're really investing in the silvers, is keep in mind that there's going to be a lot on the market. So, I mean, if this guy is the next LeBron, they may do well. They may hold their value. But that's a big what if. That is a big what if with the injury history going on. And, you know, so what I'm saying is, you know, the hobby boxes are going to be extremely crazy. They're going to be like $400 a box. Get into breaks, you know. And I'm just saying that because the hobby version is going to have the most numbered, serial numbered Zion possibilities.
We've been saying this for 2 years, right? The numbered parallels are the ones to go after.
You know there's only 99 or there's 150 or there's 299 because they're stamped. you know that there's only limited print run on that on that particular one.
Yeah, we've been saying that for 2 years now.
So something to consider, and not just to hype up our own thing. I'm telling you guys, you know, after looking at this data, and, you know, Giannis' silvers, you know, obviously are crazy. They go for like $4,000. There's only 268 of them graded.
I don't think Panini's getting greedy. I think they're trying. They are. So as much as we complain to distributors about how our allocation and all this and that, and we should be getting more, Panini is dealing with that with all their direct accounts, and their distributors are complaining, why can't we get more product? So Panini's like, we're just going to make more product. Because they're tired of getting bitched at by everybody,
right?
That they're not getting enough product.
So they have to figure out a way.
So
to
they're
make
like,
product.
Well, we're going to make more product.
Without having, and, without and what, having more autographs.
And, yes. And what happens is that that product goes to, a lot of it will go to distributors, and they aren't going to put it into the market. They're going to hold it until they figure out when's the opportune time to move it. And then they'll let it out into the marketplace.
Right. And I mean, they knew that they're, I would say, Panini's going to probably make 35. This is just pure speculation on my part. And I talked to C-Red about it outside. 35 products this year, product SKUs.
35 total products.
I would say 30 to 40% of their revenue is going to come just from Prism. Just from Prism. Out of all of those SKUs.
So I think the most money they make, I mean, we all know this. We know by breaking the product and what the content is, like what products they make the most margin on.
Yeah.
Prism being one of them. Revolution being another one.
Right.
Anything that doesn't have a lot of autograph content is where they're making money. They're going to make money on and Hoops and Donruss. They probably make a little bit of money. But those NT, Immaculate, you know, Encased, all the higher end products, Spectra, they probably make the least amount of money.
Right.
Even though the ironic thing is that that one never really goes up.
It doesn't. Yeah.
So that one never goes up on the secondary market for the most part, but they probably make the least amount of margin on it.
Right. Yeah, Prism is a big part of their revenue, and they needed to figure out what. I mean, if you were Panini, you know, you have a golden boy that may only come around once every 20, 30 years. What are you going to do? You're going to try to make the most, in a sense, without completely hurting the collectability. But I'm just telling you guys to keep in mind that the Prism numbers have been going up every year. For silvers, they're probably going to be at the highest point this year. But we're running close on time. We do have Guess That Price going down. So I got to get my theme song ready. I'm so hyped up on the Zion talk and the silver talk that I got to get my Guess That Price here.
Came up.
All right. Go ahead and kick it off. Start with the first card. Juan Soto, green. Since you just hit that home run, I figured it'd be good to start it off.
There was a card that just got popped on there. So you
no,
might.
That was the wasn't part of the second.
Okay, well, if there's a Giannis that we're looking for, it's 3,400. So
nah, you don't get a point for that. So Juan Soto, green, number to 99, gem 10, first Bowman. And who are we going to start with? Who wants to start first?
I'll go.
All right.
Juan. When did it end?
Well, that's up for mystery. No, it was fairly recent. It wasn't after last night's game, but it was within the last couple weeks.
What's the number do? 99.
Number to
99. 99. Nine to 99. Is that a 10? I can't read.
Yeah, it's a gem 10, green refractor.
Scan is tough.
I took a picture from the screen, so yeah.
You could have used my phone.
I could. I was just doing it faster than I normally do it.
1,100. That's a.
Don't say anything. See red.
2,000.
3,376. First round goes to C-Red.
Let's you got,
it, baby. Let's get it.
I mean, he's good, but you guys are crazy. Shill bid. Is it a Probstein?
It might have been.
Was it a Probstein listing?
It might have been.
Okay. So it should have been 1,100, but go ahead.
Did anybody in the chat get close? Chris got 32. It's 32. Probably got it right. All right. So, all right. The next one is a first Bowman. Gold.
Whew.
Gold refractor. 9-5-10 of Mr. Ronald Acuna.
Chill.
Gold. And C-Rad starting it off this time.
I know his prices are crazy.
Feel free to guess in the chat.
You know what, Doug?
First Bowman, 2017, Ronald Acuna, 9-5-10 for you guys listening.
Doug, I'm going to go with he's a Brave. Doug, I'm going to have to go with $8,800.
All right, Dan, it's your turn.
$9,200.
You guys were way off, but Dan took the victory. $21,100.
No, it didn't, though.
$21,000.
No. Nobody paid that.
That is the price of a brand new Honda Civic.
That auction didn't get paid.
Oh, my God.
That auction didn't get paid.
Once again, you did hear me correctly.
That auction didn't get paid.
$21,100.
Jesus.
Price of a low-end Civic, brand new.
Nope. No paid.
All right, so we're tied up 1-1.
Is that a real one? There's a lot of fake ones going around.
That one's a real one. So this is actually the next card. We're going football on you. Patrick Mahomes. This is contenders, not contenders optic, regular contenders. Short printed 6 out of 10 on
real
card.
Contenders.
Real contenders. And we're going back to Dan.
Oh, that's not contenders optic?
That's not contenders optic.
Real
that
contenders.
Is a championship ticket, short print, 6 of 10, Patrick Mahomes. Ungraded. 2017 contenders.
Not that fake optic stuff.
We're knotted up here, 1-1. Guess at home, guys. Patrick Mahomes. Don't go on eBay.
Shit. $31,000.
I like how he dropped the S right before that. Just was that a real guess? Or?
Yeah, no, it was.
Okay.
$31,000, huh?
All right. See you right here next.
This guy must be the next Tom Brady.
He might be. He's actually going to play this week, supposedly.
Dang, $31,000. Ungraded, huh?
It looks good. It looks like a gem mint to me.
I'm going to go 20, dude. 20.
All right. So 31,000 and 20. $17,301. C-Rad.
Let's get it.
C-Rad with
Let's
2 points.
It.
Like, doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, the $31,000 bet? Yeah.
No, I thought I was low.
All right. Next card. Mr. Baker Mayfield. 71 out of 99, true RPA ungraded. So RPA of Baker Mayfield, 71 out of 99.
Little bake.
And these are all auctions that we look. We don't do buy it nows, nothing. We do a buy auction to get these answers.
Little bake, Baker.
That's right. All right.
Wait, is it me or?
It's yeah.
It is me.
Okay. I started. I started with the.
All right, I got one. I got 35.50. Doug.
35.50. Dan, your pick.
41.
Ooh, Dan taking it down. $4,209.
Dang, I was close. Though.
One thing I know. One thing I know is Baker.
Jesus.
Shit, you were close. I was almost dead on.
All right, now we're moving into basketball. 9-5, gold RPA, Luka Doncic, numbered out of 10 with an amazing patch. 9-5.
That is sexy.
7 10. Million.
That is sexy.
Is that your pick?
No, it's not. That's not.
Damn, that's so nice.
So we're knotted up.
Is that number to 10?
Number to 10, gold. 9-5. Probably got to be a pop one. I couldn't assume that there'd be too many 9-5s out of the 10. What do you guys think in the chat? And who we on? We're on Dan, right?
16,000.
All right, C-Rad.
I'm at $22,777.77.
Jesus Christ. 28,000 is the winner. So C-Rad takes the lead 3-2.
Hallelujah.
He is the Luca Whisperer. That was going to be a tough battle for Dan.
It's a bad investment right
there. That was like C-Rad was the Niners and Dan was the Rams on that one. I had the upper hand. So we'll move on to the next one.
Shot.
Woo! So we'll move on to the next one. Zion Williamson, Nike logo, auto 2/2 from Immaculate Collection Collegiate. And who we starting with?
C-Rad.
C-Rad.
That's on me. Well, you know, Doug, I'm going to have to say Nike swoosh, huh? Nike swoosh.
What's it number two?
Two.
It's number two.
2/2.
So knowing what the 101 sold for, I'm going to have to guess that this particular great investment sold for...
$12,100 to Dan. And Dan needs a field goal here to tie the game up.
$13,000. Yeah.
Card sold for $9,188. C-Rad taking it home 4-2. We got one more card just for fun. One more card for fun.
What, did I win one for the first time ever?
You won.
Can we play the theme song?
The sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while, right? We got one more card. This is actually Upper Deck employee exclusive, supposedly. Serena Williams, RPA Design, Upper Deck, who she's a part of Upper Deck exclusive, Serena Williams. And it's the 0304 design with a game use something in there. Match worn, maybe. Number to 199, Serena Williams. And I think we're starting with who's
Dan.
Dan.
$4,200.
Serena. Let's go. Serena. Yo. $15,500.
Let me tell you why I.
$1,550.
$391.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Are you guys, nobody gets a point on that one.
Hey, it's all right. I finally dethroned Dan. I'm happy.
You did. You got a Vic. You got a Vic.
Yeah, cool.
This is season two, right? We're officially under season two?
I think we are. Yeah, okay, so now I got to get up in the mix on the next one.
All right,
so.
I'll make one for you guys next week.
All right, well, we got a sold-out triple threads. You guys are probably wondering where the random's at, so we'll get into that. The last thing I leave you guys at to think about is Topps has been tweeting this out. I guess they had a board meeting today. Is they were deciding on who's going to be the non-autograph or the non-baseball subjects in the 2020 Allen and Ginter. Who would you guys like to see? We're talking about musicians, maybe other sports. I don't know. Anybody. Think about who you would like to see have an autograph in Allen and Ginter that's not a baseball guy. So, and if you're not familiar with Allen Ginter, they do weird and things, and they have, like, autographs of Post Malone or Ted Danson or something, you know, in the set. So think about who you'd like to see in Allen and Ginter. But we're going to close out the show. We got Triple Threads. Thanks for listening. Once again, follow us at MojoBreak_com on Twitter and Instagram. Not only do we have a audio version of the podcast, we do have a video version of the podcast. So if you're listening to the audio version and you want to know what these cards look like or some of the stuff we've been talking about, follow us on YouTube. You can find our shows there as well. And likewise, if you're watching the YouTube video, maybe you can't make the show, download our podcast while you're driving, going to the gym, something, and keep up on all your news and all the fun banter. So we'll see you guys next week for 111. Peace out.